Hello, hello, and good afternoon to you. Hope everybody is having a great day. I was looking over the different subjects that I've covered, and you can find those, by and large, on our website at www.mountgileadchurch.net. And as I was looking down through there, I didn't see anything on deacons. And isn't that the way it goes? Deacons just seem to kind of fall through the cracks as far as talking about them, dealing with the subject, kind of thankless job in a lot of ways. And yet, at the same time, there are deacons all over the place. Even religious groups that do not believe in elders will have deacons. So it's an interesting thing, and I wanted to share with you some thoughts concerning the deaconship, so to speak. Now, the Bible doesn't have too awful much to say about deacons. What it says is certainly important, but we want to go over very quickly some things that it says about the qualifications of them, because in the qualifications you find a description of what they are. So after giving some qualifications for elders, then right after that you've got in verse 8 where it says, likewise deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now first of all, people have the idea that a deacon, in many religious groups, they seem to be like a manager. And in some religious denominations, deacons run the show in the local congregation. Folks, there is nothing about that in the Bible. And I find it very strange that sometimes you will have a religious group and they'll have deacons all over the place and they won't have any elders. Now, how is that to be the case? Since the elders are the one given more authority in the Scripture, and you've got them listed in the same passage with their qualifications and with deacons in 1 Timothy 3, but they won't even have any elders, have never had any elders, but they'll have deacons. And then they don't know what the deacons do. Well, everybody needs to understand the division of labor. Elders should oversee. The preacher should preach, and the deacons should, deek. What does that mean? Well, let me show you as you go along through it. If they are reverent, if they're not double-tongued, if you don't have them with different moral problems, and sometimes they have access to funds that have come into the church, stuff like that, so that's why you can't have them greedy for money and such. They hold the mystery of faith with a pure conscience, men who are sincere in what they do, who have a mind to serve God's people. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Notice here what it says, let them serve as deacons. Now the word deacon itself indicates that, a servant. Therefore, when it says let them serve as deacons, the idea here is that they render service unto God's people. And the service rendered by deacons, our understanding of Scripture is that it is specific in nature. That is, they do specific things in order to help out God's people. They find their talent, their niche, if you will, and they serve the church, especially in that capacity. We have different deacons that accomplished God's will in various ways in the church at Mount Gilead. Some are ambassadors for the church. They go out and present the Mount Gilead church and keep abreast of the different news and brotherhood going-ons and things like that, and assist the fellow congregations and so forth, and they are like that for Mount Gilead. We have others that assist in that they are over particular things and look over things over at the church building and make sure that the grounds are like they need to be. We have others that work with different people, like whether it be in benevolent cases or in other ways, and in worship assignments and all that kind of thing. You have deacons, folks. And the deacons have different responsibilities wherein they serve the church of God. Now, there are different questions that come up about deacons, and somebody may ask, can we have some examples of it in Scripture? Well, I don't know that you get into a lot of examples in Scripture. You do have the case of a very good church over in the book of Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 1, it says there that you got the bishops and the deacons. Now, bishops are elders, same thing. And it says the bishops and deacons. So a good church should then have deacons, right? You want to have an active and large enough congregation to support the need for specific good works of service, and therefore to have men who are qualified to be that deacon. And you also have, when I say be that deacon, I don't mean the church should have only one. It says likewise deacons. You have different needs of service, not just one need of service. And also then you've got in the Bible the question of, is Acts chapter 6 an example of the work of deacons? Possibly so, possibly. It doesn't deliberately and explicitly say so in Acts 6, but everything there seems to fit the mold of a deacon. They set aside certain ones for a benevolent work toward widows in the large Jerusalem church. And as you read in Acts 6, some people say, well, would this not be an example of the deacon's work? It would be an example of the kind of work, even if it's not a specific example of Philip and the bunch there being deacons themselves. But it most likely is. Now, when you look at the qualifications back over here again in 1 Timothy 3, then there are some interesting things about that that I want to use in comparison with other scripture. It says, likewise let their wives, they must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. So if the elders' wives must be that way, the deacons' wives must be that way, their wives must be reverent. If you're talking about a deacon, question comes up sometimes, well, why couldn't a female then be a deacon? She serves in different ways. Right, but we're talking about a certain special qualification of service, a certain office, because it says let them serve as deacons. A lot of people serve, but you see these fellows in 1 Timothy 3 are serving as deacons. Now, she might be a servant of the church. The Bible records for us in Acts chapter 16 about Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. And a servant of the church would be someone that is certainly a nice thing to be, but that does not mean that they are particularly described as a deacon. How could she be? Because how are you going to be, people say it about elders too, how someone to be a husband of one wife? Look what it says in verse 12. Same thing with deacons. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. Well, how is a lady going to do that? So a deacon is necessarily male in nature. And once again, a person might wonder why. They say, well, he doesn't have any particular authority, so why would he have to be a he? You're really missing it there somewhat. You say, why does he not? Why could she not be a deacon? Because she doesn't have any particular authority. She does. She has the authority to do what it is that she was given to do. In other words, if the church gives unto a deacon responsibility, say, over benevolence, then they certainly would have access to and would use, according to their discretion and their management, those funds, and in the decision of whether or not they're going to help that individual person and when they're going to help them and so forth. There is a measure of authority exercised. It's just that it's a delegated authority. And so there's different ways in which the idea of a deacon is just not going to fit the description of saying, well, we can let a female be that, and she just can't have the qualifications anyway. Like I said before, how is she going to fulfill these qualifications since she literally is just not male and can't be a male ever, as much as they try to be nowadays, right? Not women I'm fussing about here. I mean, just people in general, you know, you got that kind of interesting and funny situations that come up. So anyway, you've got all kinds of cases out there where people misunderstand the work, the job that deacons are supposed to do. And in misunderstanding this, they totally overlook the qualifications that are found in the Bible in 1 Timothy and in chapter 3. Now also, you can go to another passage in the Bible that is in Titus chapter 1, which is used more commonly to deal with the subject of the qualifications of elders. By the way, I need to clarify a point. It's Romans 16, not Acts 16, that I'd mentioned before, where it mentions Phoebe. But you can look at that as well in comparison to what it says here. But there are some similarities with elders and deacons. When you see those words likewise, if you're looking at your Bible right now in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 8, likewise deacons must be. He doesn't list as many qualifications as elders. You can have, therefore, younger men as deacons. But the qualifications that he has, some of them are the same. And maybe just not to as great of a degree, you see. And then you've got likewise their wives. So that's why we would think that when it says likewise their wives, it would apply to both elders and deacons' wives. So we're going to have one more comment here about them. If you look at verse 13, it says, those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's a good work, ladies and gentlemen. People need to understand it more. We need to study on this, get it down right, because a deacon is a great thing to be, and people need to understand how to apply the Bible teaching on it. Do your own study in 1 Timothy 3, and if you'd like to know anything else about it, come by and see us. Ask any question that you'd like at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. Thank you for listening this afternoon.